Okay, Shavua Tov to everyone. We're going to, I hope we'll have enough time to cover what I want to cover. I think we will start. I had a big suffix whether to start with the Chayvus Alevavos and then move on to the other stuff that I wanted to see with you, or just go straight. I think we will go through Chayvus Alevavos. Basically, I would say, as of last, due to what we spoke about last year, so somebody after this year we were speaking about, we spoke about the need in El to build one's Avas Hashem and love of, and the question came up over here, how is that done? Many people feel like, well, their deal is so difficult, whatever they're going through in life. If Hashem loved me so much, then why is He putting me through such tough stuff? And many people have, everyone has tough stuff, but some people have really tough stuff, and that can be a very difficult question. And it becomes kind of difficult to work on the Avas Hashem, focusing. And it's true, and everybody knows it. Yes, there are tovus, and you can make an enormous list of good things, but it's still it's. Well, why is He putting me through that? And that's something that hinders people and keeps them back from feeling Hashem's love, and then, of course, that holds them back from being able to build in themselves a love towards Hashem. And therefore, I want to relate a little bit to that topic. And my answer in general is yes, there's going to be... the Ava has to be built on Emunah. That's certainly true. In other words, the bottom line is going to be some nusach, right? Some nusach of all the difficult stuff that I go through is really for my benefit, right? Somewhere there's going to have to be some kind of emunah where we trust that Hashem knows what's best, what we see from, what you see from there, you won't see from here, kind of a thing. And so ultimately there will be a need to be mischazik in emunah in order to allow the ava to flow naturally, because I would say that really, I think a person inherently does realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves his Brios. We realize that God is a loving being, and therefore we just have to kind of like get rid of the mechitzas in front of that and tap into that more natural feeling of Hashem's love. We have to, and those are sometimes very, very heavy mechitzas, mechitzas shel barzel, iron curtain. And so I want to try to chip away at that a little bit. The first person that I want to see is the Chayvus Alevavos. We're actually going to see two Rabbeinu Bachyas today. Okay, mistakenly referred to in the Ashkenazi world as Rabbeinu Bechaye, but what can we do? They were both from the Sephardi world, and their name was Bachya, not Bechaye. So we're going to see Bez Hashem the Chayvus Alevavos, who was Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Kuda, and then we're going to see Rabbeinu Bachya that's on the Torah, which is a different Rabbeinu Bachya. So let's first see the beginning of Shaar Bechina. I'll try to go through it a little bit quick because it's not anything so new. It is something that, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, you might know it somewhere back there, but we have to dust off sometimes some basics. And so I want to see that together with you. Shaar HaBechina, we'll start a few lines in, where he starts, V'noymar Tchila. Right at the beginning of it. Omar Mechaber, I don't know, by me it doesn't use the word Hakdama, but you have it? It's the second Shaar in Chayvus Alevavos, right? So the words where it starts, V'noymar Tchila. So we'll say first like this, Ki tovei sakel yis'al al bruav. Right? The favors of God, right? The good stuff that he brings al bruv on his creations. V'imein kolulas es kulam, and if referring to those tevis encompass all of them. K'mayshamarakosav, like the pasuk says, tev Hashem l'koil, right? Even though these tevis include all of them, all the creations, like it says, Hashem is good to everyone, to all beings. Rubam ki'ivrim, most of them are like blind people. Me'akiram, from recognizing those taivas. Umei haven goydel ma'aloisam. You know, you find it? I mean, is it one volume? Yeah, so you should have it right here. Sorry, just one second. Right here. Here, we're over here. So,
I started
a few lines in where it says V'noymar Tchila, a few lines into Shar Bechina. So even though most of these, even though this good, these goods, these favors, the bestowing of goodness is onto everyone, but most people or most beings are like blind people from recognizing those tovus, from understanding the greatness of their mila. Ve'ena maskile minyanam, and they don't really think about them. They don't, you know, concentrate on them. They don't take note of them. Mipnei shleisha dvarim, because of three things. Okay, and the Chavis Lovas lists three things which I think are pretty pertinent to everyone. Echad mehem, one of them is rov his askam beinyan ha'olam v'tanugav v'savusam ashle agil mimenu. The tremendous dealings that people, the involvement of people in the inyan of the world and things of the world and in the pleasures of the world and in reaching the different desires, attaining the, you know, getting the desires that a person wants out of this world. Mashallah yagil mimenu. People are involved in what they don't get. They're on the chase, right? Vis almam mehabit el tevis abayele. And they hide. They kind of don't pay attention. They don't look, right? They conceal their faces from looking at the tremendous goods, good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Creator gives them. Mipnei shelibam toli bo'otzem mashe mekavim mimalos tavosem ashlamas mashaloisem. Because their hearts are so dependent and so concentrated on what they are looking forward to and what they are trying to still gain, right? They're more focused on the half empty than on the half or three quarters full. They're actually more focused on the slight bit empty even than it's almost full cup. That's the nature of man. V'dorshim mashacharel. They're always demanding what follows, what's next. V'timatene b'neim atoves erabos. And the tremendous numbers of good things become small in their eyes. V'tiknene etzel mamatonas agdos. The big, huge gifts, they become small. To the point that they consider and they think any good thing that somebody else has, it's like, oh, it was rejected from me. It's like they get bothered by the fact that somebody else has something that they don't have. Umashe, somebody has to mute themselves here. Umashe. Oh, and when they have bad things that happen to them, right? Bad things happen to them. And they won't understand the actions of Hashem who's really doing good to them. Attaches to the how's that extension of what he was speaking about before? It just means that they're so focused on what they don't have or on the certain negative things that happen to them that they don't pay attention to all the good that they have. Okay, so that's the first thing that I've mentioned in the past. You can have a person who's working towards a certain goal. You know, I once heard somebody speaking about, a guy was collecting money. He was driving around his, car, jalopy, old junk car, whatever it is. And any time he saw like a really fancy car, I think that he had his eyes on a specific car. It like was motzil et einav. It just took his eyes out. He was so jealous. So he saved and saved and saved. It worked his head off until he managed to save up enough money to buy that fancy car. And he gets the fancy car. What happens? You know, first week it's exciting, he's on top of the world. Second week, after a month already, it's like, I don't know. It doesn't do it to the person. Like, that's everybody knows it. It's the way it is. You think you're going to get that big fancy house and life is going to be so good. And then you get it, and it just becomes a part of the norm for you. And it's like, okay, what's next? So we're always on the chase for what's next. So that means it's not the things that are going to make you happy. Right? That's not the, and that's what happens. That's what the focus of the person is. It's not just that the person is so much on the chase that he loses touch with the reality of how much good he has, how much good HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him and continues to give him.
So we need to stop the chase?
Certainly the chase is not a good thing.
Cease the strive? Huh? Very Buddhist, cease the strive.
Yeah, I don't think it's the strive, but the striving should be, you know, channeled to, you know, ultimately, the striving of a person should really be for ruchnius, for spirituality, for mitzvahs. Should not be for anything in Olam Hazeh. But in reality, you know, where most people are holding...
Even in ruchnius?
Yeah.
If one looks at where everybody else is...
No, so striving should never be looking at the other. You know? Unless it's done in a positive sense.
With where one is because of where one wants to be.
Yeah. So, okay, that's another discussion. You're right. In ruchnius, a person can suffer from this also. If a person doesn't know how to focus on what he has accomplished, already has in ruchnius, and he's always just so focused on what he doesn't, that could also be very, very damaging, 100%. But, okay, we got to stay focused on this topic, though. So, this is the first thing that the Chovos HaLevavos lists as a problem. V'hasheni, the second thing, Tzeisim elo Olam Hazeh, them going out to Olam Hazeh, v'mimsholim kebehema sichlois, ayir, the people are like similar to animals, you know, that don't have seichel, like k'mashomer kosef, v'ayir, pere odom yivole, the person is born like a, you know, like a wild donkey. I think that's the translation. V'zgadlam b'tovus elokim ha'oidfos v'zgalgalam b'ad sheshavu etzam regilis v'yaduas ki'iluim atzmi eslam bilti yisruis mi'itam v'linifrodis me'im kol yameim. Okay, what that says is that they grow up with such an enormous amount of good from Hashem. They get so used to having those good things that they take them for granted. So a person takes the good stuff for granted. So it's a separate thing, right? The first thing was it's not that you take it for granted, it's just you're so focused on the negative, you don't pay attention to the good. The second thing is that you take the good for granted. And when you become more intellectual, and their recognition will become strengthened. Then they will go. They'll pay attention, and they'll realize. They'll understand the tremendous good of the Creator. I mean, there are people that have come close to death, you know, and there are people. I have a certain person or two even in mind that their lives changed because they came so close to death that they realized, like, oh wait, I have so much good, you know, so they become much more focused on the good things in life. You have an appreciation for life. I mean, a lot of people say that, you know, people have gone through terrible, scary things that, you know, sickness or whatever it is, where they could have lost their life. They get a new appreciation for the finer details of life, for those good things. So that's the second thing, is that people take things for granted, take the good stuff that they have for granted. They don't pay attention. They don't put their heart to the obligation of thanks that they have on that. Because they don't know the importance, the mila of that good thing, and the one who's giving it to them, the one who's God, who's giving it to them. They're similar to an infant. That, okay, he brings a parable. We don't have enough time to get into everything here. He brings a nice story to illustrate this. And then let's skip to the third thing, Vashlishi, where it says the third thing. Vashlishi, the third thing is Mipnei Mashem Moitza Isam Ba'ola Mimine Hapgoyim Mashe Aleim Minyoni Hefsid Begufim V'moinam. So this is already, you know, the tough one. because they really have a lot of bad things that happen to them, right? Bad things happen to them, and they have losses in their body, losses in their money, and they don't understand what is causing, right? They don't understand what kind of good can be from these terrible tzaras. What kind of good could be from me losing my job, my money, chas v'shalom, loved ones, or limbs? I mean, the serious stuff. What could possibly be good from this? Right? Or bad family life, family relations, chas v'shalom. These are things that basically happen to everyone at some point, different whatever it is, and it's hard to, a person can't see like what is good in that. They don't chap the benefit of the trial that they are being put through, and the musr sometimes that they are receiving. Like the pasuk says, you know, praiseworthy is the person who God afflicts him, and from your Torah, right, he learns. V'shachachu, and they forget. It's all just good stuff that Hashem is giving to them. Nedava v'chesed v'gazer ben betzedek, and whatever it decreed for them is with justification, is righteousness. Kfi mashachiv v'chachmasoy v'kitzoy v'haris tzitko bem. So it's all cheshbened out. It's all calculated. We'll stop here on this. But that's basically the third thing, is that it's very hard, and we all know this, it's very, very hard. A person is going through stuff, and it's very hard to realize what is the good in this thing. And basically, we always are feeling like, you know, just get me out of this situation. Like, I wish I wasn't in this situation. Not every situation can a person get out of, right? If there was a loss of some, you know. So these are the three things that make it difficult for a person to come close to feel God's love for them, to feel how Hashem is being made to them, and then ultimately for them to also give back love to Hashem. And that is the focus of Shaar Bechina, which is not taking the good stuff for granted. The whole Shaar Bechina is basically exactly that's what the Chavis Lavavis does. It shows you how much good you do have in your life, and you should focus on it, pay attention to it, and it's certainly recommended learning. I don't want to call it reading, recommended learning. Okay, so that's I would say as an introduction to the next piece. The next piece is like this. It is actually based on Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, which we'll be reading this week. Right now we're entering Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, and there's a very important pasuk in this week's parsha. It's a mitzvah, the mitzvah of ma'akeh, building a fence on your roof. Now, I think I've mentioned this in the past, you know, according to Sefer HaChinuch and other Rishonim, the mitzvah for taking care of one's health is the mitzvah of Makkah. Not V'nishmarta, the Lashonis that normally you see on the advertisements for the Kupat Cholim or something. It's the, they should write on the bottom of the Kupat Cholim ads, Ki sivne bayis chadash v'asisa Makkah l'gagecha v'leisosim damim v'veisecha. That's right, you know. That's what they should be writing. The pasuk says when you build a new house, you have to make a fence to your roof, so that there's not going to be any deaths in your house. Because the person can fall from it, right? We don't want that. So, where's that Gemara? Under here. It's too small. So the Gemara in Shabbos, and Rashi brings a shorthand reading of that Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, ki yipoil hanoifel mimenu. So the Lashon hanoifel mimenu, the Gemara is going to darshan, ro'i ze lipoil misheshis imei bereshis. This person really was supposed to anyway fall from the 6 days of creation, meaning this person was destined to fall and die. Sherei lo nafal, because he didn't yet fall, v'kosev koroi noifel, and the Pasuk calls him falling. Right, the pasuk should be saying, "Build a fence so that nobody falls." But it's like we're talking about a falling person. Keep on the fence, because the falling person is going to fall from your roof. So he's a falling person already. Meaning, says the Gemara, he was destined to fall at that moment from Sheshis and Bereshis, from the beginning of creation. Elu shemegalgan zchus yidezake v'choyvel yidechayv, except that that's the way Hashem's way is, that he brings about merit through the meritorious person, and he brings about obligation and avera through somebody who is not a good person, somebody who, is chayv. Now, Rabbeinu Bachya on the parsha, on this week's parsha, says, based on this chazal, he calls it a medrash, but when the Rabbeinu Bachya calls al derech a medrash, he doesn't always mean medrash, he means a drosha of chazal. Sometimes it could be a medrash, but sometimes it's just a drosha of chazal. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, an unbelievable thing. The inyin ha-medrash hazeh, the inyin of this medrash, ki kol anivroim kulam, because all the creations, every last one of them, nivru becheftzam ritzayinam, were created with their own desire and will. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu hodiyam bereishis habriyah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu notified them at the beginning of the creation, kol inyaneihem kulam, all of their inyanim, all of their issues, v'chol ha-mikrim ha-asidim lo ve'aleh, and all the things that are going to occur to them, all the things that are going to happen to them in their life. He also informed them about the days of their lives, I guess how long they're going to live, and how they are going to die. And also how their parnasa is going to be. In berevach, in betzar. If it's going to be, with a lot, or it's going to be difficult for them. If they're going to receive their parnasa on their own, or they're going to be receivers of tzedakah from other people. Or maybe could also be independent, or they're going to work for others. Right? Maybe that's another way of saying Atzma Noal Mishal Acherim. Obviously, he meant the first way, but there's an aspect of this too. V'chein darshu Chazal, and so Chazal also darshened. Kol ma'ase bereishis l'daitam nivru l'tzivyoinam. All of the creation was created in their form, exactly based on their own will. Shenemer, as it says, v'chol tzivaom. They all wanted and they accepted it. And it's on this that the Chazal said, this person was supposed to fall anyway from the beginning of time. And he even wanted it. He wanted to go like that. And even so, there's still going to be a big punishment for the one who actually causes him to fall like that. Right? If he didn't make offense, it's going to be your cheshbon. It's not like, your putter, he was supposed to die anyway. No. And therefore you should make a fence to your roof. So this is actually an amazing, amazing thing from Rabbeinu Bachya. From Rabbeinu Bachya ben Reb Asher, I think is his name. Right? Not the Rabbeinu Bachya of the Chavis HaLevavos, it's Rabbeinu Bachya of the Torah. According to Rabbeinu Bachya, very often a person might feel like, I wish I had an easier time with parnasa. I wish I had certain capabilities. Look at that guy. That guy is living life. He's so smart. I'm not so smart. I might be very not smart, right? Or I wish I had that guy's social abilities, and I don't. There's so many things that we look and wish, and it could get worse, right? It could get like, I wish my kids were like his kids. I wish my, it could be in so many different areas, and so many of my spouse, there are a lot of wishes. There's a huge wish list that people have. And Rabbeinu Bachya tells us, guess what, buddy? I showed you everything beforehand. You saw what's going on. You saw from up there. And this is what you chose. You chose your script, which you are living through. You think you would choose differently now. Down here, you think you would choose differently? No. You would choose exactly this. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, or maybe every one of you are thinking, and I don't know Rabbeinu Bachya doesn't relate to it, but there are certain situations. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I'm not in, but if I look at some people, you look at their package, and you're like, there's no one that would choose that. It's just like, that's too impossible. Or, why? A better question. This is really the deeper question. Okay, fine. Granted, I chose it. And I chose it why? Obviously, it has something to do with what my tafkid in the world is. I realize that this is what I'm supposed to fulfill. But why did I? Okay, fine. Hashem gave me certain spiritual goals and things to accomplish. And based on that, I said, yeah, okay, give me this package. But why did he do that? In other words, where was my choice being made? Was my choice being made from ground zero? Sometimes that's very hard to imagine. It's very, very hard to imagine. I mean, I don't know. Some people's lives are very hard to imagine that if they were given ground zero, they go, okay, this is what I want. There must have been some kind of spiritual pull, at least. Let's say it was from ground zero. But there was some kind of tendency in them that said, you know, well, you know, I like that kind of avodah. That avodah looks to me something I really want to do. Okay, but that's also pre-programmed to some extent in somewhere deep in the nefesh of a person, though. No? This is my somewhat of a question. But, so, I mean, I don't think it's really a question. You know, I'm just saying, I'm speaking out what I think maybe some psychology of a person maybe over here. And the answer to that is, it, you know, yes, 100%. There's a certain, I think, you know, Aleph Bey is given out by Hashem, a certain tafkid given out for everybody. We find this in the Sifri Kabbalah. Some people come from different, you know, it's called the Shir Koima, that there's like a big person, which is the humanity, and some people come from the shoulder, and some the right shoulder, and some people come from the left shoulder. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not really. It's really lower down because it's Atzilus, whatever. But yeah. But some people come from the knee, and some people come from the thigh, and some people may come from the heart, and everybody's going to come from there. So obviously, based on that, we're going to want to do something different. Okay, that in a chanami is given out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, the point is that if we stop looking at how things could be different, and we accept this Rabbeinu Bachya and realize that no, if we were up there with our pnimius, with the deepest point in us, we really would choose this exact script that we're going through. That will help each and every one of us get through whatever it is that we're trying. Because it's not a matter of getting through. At that point, obviously, you daven tefillos and you do mitzvahs and you do everything to try to improve your situation. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, right? He wants us to turn to Him and be mischazik. But it's coming from a place where, you know, there are certain things you can change, certainly not from moment to moment. But the one thing you can choose to change is your attitude. And when your attitude is mekabel and you're mevatel yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you say, and you know that be'etzem, if you're looking at yourself in the truest sense from up there, and you once did, this is what you chose. Now, there's one exception which I believe does have to be added here. And that is, Chazal tell us, if you have Yisurim coming onto you, right? If you have Yisurim, so you have to be mefashbesh b'maisev, mefashbesh maisev. You have to see what you're doing, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about this in Shar Talit. He says, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in a way that we're going to understand Him. If you're suffering in a certain limb, a certain part of the body, or whatever it is, you have to think about, what did you do with that part of the body? What avera, maybe, did you do? And if you don't find anything, Chazal say, okay, so then you tail it in Yisurim Shel Ahava. Then you could be tailed in, you know, afflictions of love. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to just get you higher and higher. But my point, so how does that work now? How does that work? In other words, when do I know? Because now I could beat myself up from that angle. Right? When do I know that it's my doing? When do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this is decreed? It's decreed. I'm a neufel in this. I'm a goner in this. This was, you know, I'm using that expression just based on the Gemara up there. But when do I know? So I think that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decrees include those Yisurim. In other words, right, the plan, there was a plan for everybody, and everybody had full Bechira. And always has full Bechira. And then, depending on what you're going to decide, so then this and this is going to happen. If you're going to decide it, this and this is going to happen. All the types of Yisroel that happen to a person are part of that pre-played plan. It's all part of that. So yes, your particular Yisurim, tailored Yisurim, are also part of God's plan that you will be happy. And you said, you know something, I want that. If I'm going to do this and that, I want that. Right? I think that's all part of this. Now let's, in the last few minutes, I want to see this amazing Shari Ur, which says the same kind of idea, but much more extensively. I hope we have time. And the Shari Ur is a very early Kabbalistic source, and it's from the Rishonim, the times of the Rishonim, like before the Arizal. Where in Shar Vav. So we'll start from, I have the old print. I sent you out a copy of the new print. Let's see. Oh, here he says, "Utzrichim anu leydiacha ikarim gedolim." Yeah, we need to inform you. We need to teach you some main ikarim. Sha'aleim oilam oime, that on them the world stands. But who said my separations? The secret of my separations. So the Shaira is coming to teach us the secret of my separations. The Grub, by the way, very much said person should start learning Kabbalah with this sefer. So, ulahayir enecha b'soid ma tam hizke b'chol ma'is b'reishu shem elokim. Want to enlighten your eyes the secret why the Torah mentions throughout ma'is b'reishu the name Elokim midas hadin. Vehu asoid, and that is the secret. Lefisha kol nivram kulam elyonim b'tachtonim kulam, all the creations, the upper ones and the lower ones, kulam nivru b'kav hadin v'mishpat, they were all created with the line of judgment. There's not a single creation that wasn't agreed upon them. The Beis Din that's called Elohim, the Beis Din that's called Elohim, Koidem Shinivrod, before he was created, V'yotza min adin bir yezu kach ru'uya liyaz kishiura, and that's how the din came out, that this creation is appropriate for it to be in this measurement, begoiva, with this height, betzur sevareh, with this form of its limbs, v'chaya, and its life, u'mezenisel, and its parnasa, u'min adin yotza, shetia bir yezu meshubedes lebir yeplainis, and from the din went out that this creation should be subservient to such and such creation, bein l'shibud aguf, bein l'shibud mazon, whether it's the body itself should be subservient, or whether it's the nourishment of the parnasa, v'kachal yadin b'chol ma'is b'reishis u'b'chol b'yah, that was the din that went out. But all ma'is b'reishis, and every single creation, nistakmo. Can somebody mute themselves here? Okay. So I'm muted. V'chol b'riyah v'b'riyah. Right, so that was all agreed upon. I'm skipping a line. V'chol b'riyah v'b'riyah mikol ha'b'riyos. In every single creation of the creations, amda lefnei based and nikra lakim, stood before the based and it's called a lakim, v'hisruba, and they warned it. V'yidi'ua, di'i, no. Ki shir gufcha yakach. You should know this is going to be the size of your body, ve'ivarecha, and your limbs. Umezaynesecha. Yeah, you have a problem because you're too tall, or you're too short. Guess what? You were told about this, and you were happy about it. We'll see. Umezaynesecha and your parnas, ve'chayecha and your life, ve'shibutcha mimshaltecha yakach, and you're gonna be ruled by this person, etc. Ve'yeshiva kol beria, and every single creation responded va'amra and said, hinaniim kolze besimcha v'tulev. I am very happy about it, and I'm totally comfortable with that. I mean, tuv lev about it. V'zeh sham Chazal, and that's what Chazal said. Kol my separations, b'dayt nivru, b'kaymas nivru, b'tzivyon nivru. Chazal said, all of my separations were created with their own input, with their own knowledge, they were created with their height and with their character. Kolemer b'dayt and lavi kol mashi ikulen. They were created with their own. They knew everything that was going to happen to them. B'kaymasan. Their height, love, and sheer gufan v'tavnis ivareim b'tzivyoinam. So that's he's saying. That's what Chazal mean when they say b'kaymas and nivru. With their height, they were created. The size of their body, etc. B'tzivyoinam, with their character. Shehem ratzu b'chevetz v'tzavu l'kabel akolayim. They wanted this. They were excited about it. They this is exactly what they wanted. V'tam asoid agadol azehu. And the reason for this great secret is she'ein chavin dover shloy b'fanav. You can't obligate. This is a halacha, right? You can't be chav to somebody else when he's not there. You can't obligate someone when he's not there, when he's not present. If he doesn't understand the reason for something, Hashem couldn't obligate us to live a life without asking us, without letting us, you know, letting us see what's going on. And that's what he said, that a katan you can't obligate. A minor doesn't have das. So you can't obligate a minor, ever, even in front of him, because the minor doesn't have das, doesn't have knowledge, doesn't have understanding. Therefore, they had to say, when it comes to Ma'aseh Bereishis, what did Chazal say? Bedaiton, with their das, with their knowledge, meaning everybody understood it. To tell us, no creation can say, I was a katan, I was stupid. There's no way I would have chosen this had I had das. I could come with Taina, Takadish Bohol, I would have never chosen this. I was obviously a minor. I didn't have das. He told me about this. I don't agree to it. And therefore, it was all with one's will. People wanted, they were happy about it. So now he says, after we told you this, I want to tell you something like this. This is why it says all over my separations, the Lashon Elokim, the name used for Hashem, is the Midas Hadin. To tell you, it's all justified, it's all perfect. It's all perfect. Din means it fits perfect. Since you're going to find a number of creations that are different than each other, there are some ugly people, there's some nice looking people, and there's some ugly people. And creations, nice looking creations and ugly creations. It's not fair that this one came out so ugly. And this one's nice. Who caused this one to be nice and this one to be ugly? Why did Hashem create? It's not fair. Why did Hashem create such an unequal creation? I think he actually quotes that somewhere. What sin did this ugly one do? We respond to him. You should know all the creations were spoken to first. Hashem put them before him, and he said, so now tell me, after you gave them all the details, he said, tell me, are you interested? And they said, and if not, then you're like, not created, I won't create you. And each creation said, and said, this is mamash what I want. I love it. Such a great, this is a great opportunity. I want this. Kitzer, he continues with this, with, you know, he goes mamash into details, but it's all this basic thing. So this is something which I think we can all take chizik in and should mamash think about it. However tough it seems, it's perfectly tailored and suited for what we need to fulfill in this world. So we should not agonize about it in the sense of like, I wish things were different. Yes, you could daven, you could work to try to change things, obviously, right? But this could keep us sane and return our love to Hashem. Allow us to tap back into that love, which we got. Allow us to tap back into that love, which can come sometimes through difficulties. Can get worn down. Yes, it's based on Emunah, but it's a fascinating idea, fascinating point, which these are very, very chashuva sources. Shari Oira and Rabbeinu Bachya, both big Kubalim, Maisa, but from the Rishonim. And it's something to keep in mind. All right.
Yeah. Most gems.
Yeah.
I've heard this idea once before, but I think from a much later Macron.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to see this in motion.
Right. All right. Very good. Shavua Tov to everyone. And a good day.